I think we can get started. Good morning and greetings to everyone. First of all, let me express many thanks to audience for the possibility to give a talk. I'm really happy to be here. My name is Andrew Kuznetsov, and I'm from Freiburg. The topic of today's presentation is the compositional basis of biological design. My main three objectives are: 1. To assign a role of modularization as the minimalist economy principle for the adaptation to variable environment. 2. To stress the significance of the interaction between modules. And 3. To underline the role of horizontal gene transfer in adaptation and evolution, because this was a major subject of my research, which I'm calling evolution by communication. I've divided the presentation into 5 parts. The first piece is a brief introduction into the field of complexity. I'll talk you about the fundamental problem of science and give you an example of complex system behavior, as well as demonstrations of self-assembly. The second part of the presentation is about recognition of modules in the artificial reality, like in the paintings of Joan Miró, and that is more important in the natural systems. In addition, a case how an inspiration from the natural modularity can help to resolve real technical challenges will be presented. The third part is dedicated to answer a crucial question about the origin of modularity based on the analysis of distributed bacterial sulfur metabolism. I'll speak about the nature of mutations and give you a generalization of copy, cut, and paste mechanisms. The fourth part of my speech is about the bright possibilities of modular design. It will bring in your attention the modularity of genetic networks and by calculus giving examples of elements of networks and genetic motifs. Finally, I'll finish with the scalable design, emergent behavior, and compositional evolution of biological systems. You'll be involved into a speculation about the role of horizontal gene transfer in the biological complexity. The main point of my presentation is a significant role of the transfer and communication of modules in adaptation that is still in a shadow of general evolution paradigm. The talk will take around 40 to 45 minutes. If you have any questions, please feel free to interrupt me. So, let me begin from a bit of philosophy. A fundamental problem of sciences: why does matter growth and complexity? As Herbert Simon wrote in the introduction to the book Modularity, MIT Press, 2005, complexity arises then components interact with each other in ways more than uniform, frequent elastic collisions. Interactions among components can lead to all kinds of nonlinear behavior. The phase space of complex systems usually exhibits irregular surfaces of local minima and maxima, or even demonstrates bifurcations and chaotic behavior. If we take the phrase survival of the fittest literally, then the theory of evolution has a power only in a world where maxima are attainable and the paths toward them are discoverable that are seldom in the real world. As an example, I'll present you the amazing data obtained when I was a student: the divergence of astrocytes for GFA content depending on malination. GFA, that means glial fibrillary acidic protein, is a neurospecific protein, which is a marker of nervous cells such as astrocytes. It's the biomarker of the neoplasia of central nervous system. Here is a distribution of GFA protein for different cancer cells in central nervous system. There is a divergence of nervous cells for GFA protein content depending on the malination that is approximated by the linear and nonlinear regression functions. Distributions of soluble and insoluble forms of GFA protein in the normal and malignant nervous cells are well described by the canonical cusp catastrophes, Whitney cusp surfaces. Unfortunately, ordinary mathematical methods no longer lead to solutions in closed form, and the complexity can even carry us beyond the simulation capacities. On the left side of the slide you can see three-dimensional and two-dimensional fractal structures, which are results of the diffusion-limited aggregations generated within computer. Here, on the right side, are screenshots of the assembling by adhesion rules. The exercise was to form a chessboard pattern in the presence of diffusion-limited aggregations. The seat of crystallization is in the left-down corner. This is a random initial position of tiles, and here are the final solutions for different parameters of diffusion. You see that it's impossible to create the chessboard pattern without gaps, but the Mother Nature does it better. The great problem is to find those tricky rules of interactions between soft living particles, for example repair rules, and so on. With respect to the Herbert Simons point of view on complexity, I'd like to remember his definition of modularity in the terms of interactions. He wrote, "The frequencies of interaction among elements in any particular subsystem of a system are an order of magnitude or two greater than the frequencies of interaction between the subsystems. We call this nearly decomposable system." He continued later, "A system may be characterized as modular to the extent that of its components operates primarily according to its own, intrinsically determined principles. Modules within a system or process are tightly integrated, but relatively independent. Examples of modularity appear quite natural in the software design, in everyday engineering practice, like electronics, optics, and even in DNA nanotechnology, such as DNA origami building blocks, modular DNA folding, and DNA protein interactions, in the case of binding complex GCN4B zipper with DNA. In the natural science, modularity is represented by a search for fundamental units and basic elements, for instance, elementary particles, chemical elements, molecules and compounds, gene clusters, metabolic pathways, etc. The search for modularity is the recognition of sets of base elements and construction rules. Here is an example in nanotechnology. You can see the result of computer-aided design of endohedrometallofullerenes on the basis of quantum mechanical calculations within the density function theory. Cobalt clusters and carbon fullerenes were considered as independent modules which can be in different positions and could interact in different ways. We were able using this approach to plan experiments rationally and to find an empirical rule for the interaction between cobalt and carbon atoms that describes the magnetic moment of complex as a function of number and length of chemical bonds. The magnetic moment per metal atom of given complex M is proportional to the average metal carbon bond length L divided by the total number of metal carbon bonds in the complex N. As you have seen, the idea of modularity is intuitive but is hard to formulation. Let me give you an example. Such, Australian Patrick Blader wrote, "We define a module as an assembly of biological structures that fulfill a function in an integrated and context-insensitive manner. Function as defined here is not merely the interaction of molecules, but an interaction that yields a biological output which is characteristic of the module. Furthermore, the application of the module is flexible. To be recognized as a module, it has to be used either in different processes, in the same organism, or in different organisms, exploiting its invariant functional properties, in the same or different processes. A module is therefore characterized by its reiterated use. So, it looks rather difficult. I'm sure some of you recognize this problem. In other words, modularity is defined through a process that starts by recognizing patterns, shapes, or events that repeat at some scale of observation. Modularity is a hallmark of biological organization and an important source of evolutionary novelty. Modularity is a sign of the universal principle of economy in nature. Does anyone have any comments? I like this simple definition. Module is a set of genes that act together to carry out a specific function. The recognition of modularity came as a surprise. 1. Try to find modules, relations between modules, the origin of modules. 2. Try to understand the hierarchy of a modular system, and to reason of the entanglement within modules and between modules. In my opinion, the answer following questions could have given a key to control an evolution process. 1. How does a system evolve and fall? 2. What is a limit of evolvability? In addition, I'd like to point out that evolvability is the ability to respond to a selective challenge by producing the right kind of variation. If there are no questions, I'll move to the history of research in modularity. Modularity is an old concept in the biological science, which is based on the antique belief that modularity was a real and universal property of nature. In 18th century, comparative anatomists, such as Cuvier and Saint-Hilaire, identified structural modules representing parts of organisms. Joseph Needham in 1930s proposed that development consists of distinct processes that are operating in coordination. Development can be decomposed into separate elements. In a modern time, Fontana, Wagner, Allon, and many others have significantly contributed in the field. Here is a list of recently discovered rules. A constant environment that does not change over time, less than non-modular structures. Opposite, the modular structure can spontaneously emerge if environment changes over time. Variability in the natural habitat of an organism promotes modularity. Modularity can also dramatically speed up evolution. Adaptation of bacteria to new or changing environments is often associated with uptake of foreign genes through horizontal gene transfer, HGT. HGT is an important force that contributes significantly to modularity. My own research is suggesting the last statement. Just as Richard Watson has written, the existence of modularity in nature is now becoming testable. We investigated the SR and SOX gene clusters coding enzymes for bacterial community sulfur metabolism. DSR means the dissimulatory sulfate reduction and SOX means the sulfide oxidation. Study on environmental DNA databases, such as Community Kinbeiren Frostruck 2 RAVE for advanced marine microbial ecology research and analysis, CAMRA for short, allowed us to confirm the major role of horizontal gene transfer in modularity. The correlation between the DSR and SOX clusters for the experimental set of 41 stations around the world was R equals 0.86, which demonstrates the complementarity of DSR and SOX metabolic pathways in environmental populations. Genes tend to group in modules that facilitate the propagation of specific functions within a community of organisms. To confirm this observation, the Apertree was produced using Alvinella pompejana symbiont reference and NCBI blast pairwise alignments. However, it was impossible to map Apertree to 16SRRNA phylogenetic tree because putative horizontal gene transfer affected the canonical phylogenetic tree. We revealed a hierarchical modularity in the bacterial sulfur metabolism. The example included a repressor of phase 1 flag LN within the large sulfite reductase 4Fe4S domain. According to Russell Martin Kunin's scenario of the origin of life, the sulfur metabolism was very ancient invention of nature. The data obtained from modern DNA sequence databases allowed us have a look at the time back to 3.5 to 3.8 billion years ago, when the unicellular life emerged on our planet. This logic helped us to merge the origin of life with the origin of modules. Modularity can be explained as an adaptation for evolvability. We concluded that modularity is an unavoidable design feature of the organic life. Evidences of horizontal gene transfer and modular nature of prokaryotic genomes are very good news for engineers who try to design complex metabolic pathways. Such artificial modular design could include a kernel, housekeeping genes, and modules involved into a process of adaptation towards a particular environment. Unfortunately, biological reality is much too complex to be captured by a linear mapping of genes to phenotypes. However, it's a reasonable mechanistic assumption that the genome produces adaptive variants. Such genome is enabled to access regions of the phenotype that may be adaptive in two ways. 1. By the mechanisms of compositional evolution which combine interdependent genetic modules that have evolved previously in parallel, and 2. Using small gradual changes, like point mutations. In other words, it means 1. The change of topology of genetic networks, and 2. The change of parameters which are induced in DNA sequences. You can see here an example from experiments on the CAMRA database. The alignment of the protein reads from microorganisms living in the gutless worm. Foalgarvensis to the apro polypeptide from Bacterium viocudanae. I was able to reveal different patterns of variability for apro protein. Numerous insertions, deletions, and exchanges in apro polypeptide were found as are marked in yellow. An extreme specialization is somewhat risky for an organism in diverse conditions. Remodularization of the organism is needed in the changing environment. Consider an evolving system, an abstract machine, and an environment that is continuously changing creates input words for the machine to stimulate an adaptation of this device to the surrounding. The input for this machine is special words, which are generated by environment. We call these input words as oracle, guide, or generative. The output is phenotypes, which are fit with environment. The machine operates on strings, which can code organisms in hierarchical manner. This non-deterministic abstract machine searches according to oracle words, in the design space, to be appropriate for its environment, cuts, transposes, and pastes a set of tapes. Here you can see the schematic of Argo machine with circular tapes. The Argo, machine consists of agents. Each of these has a head, a tape, and can be in different output states. The tape is a non-empty string of symbols that may be linear or circular. The head scans the tape according to an input word W of I and cuts it at recognized sites. The agent arbitrarily pastes the tape. For each tape configuration, there is an appropriate output state of the agent that is checked by the environment. Special accept and reject states take immediate effect. An agent accepts if its output state corresponds to the environment state. An agent will reject if less than 2 matches to the input word exist on the tape. M can accept if at least one agent accepts, reject if all agents reject, or loop. If environment has changed, then it delivers a transposition and a new word W of I plus 1. The transposition means to make a copy of tape from the accepted agent to other ones and join it in head to tail. M looks for an agreement with the environment again and again. We could describe M another way. The system operates on inputs and memory, uploads the memory, and yields outputs. Changes in environment generate oracle words, which guide DNA shuffling and transpositions. A combinatorial power of this system is very high. In short, M is a set of stochastic cut-paste agents which act in parallel on their own tapes. Accordingly, the instructions, input words, communicate with each other by transpositions of the tape and interact with the environment to compare the output states. Based on the comparison, it accepts or runs in a loop to fit to the environment. A crucial point of M is the Argonaut algorithm. Each agent, Argonaut in other words, performs the next actions on word W1. Scan the tape to be sure that it contains at least 2 matches. If not, reject. 2. Cut at the matching sites and arbitrarily paste the tape's fragments. 3. Take the output state according to the new tape. 4. Check it with the state of environment. If satisfy, accept, otherwise loop. You can see that the combinatorial power of the Argonaut algorithm is bigger than polynomial, exponential and factorial functions. Computation associated with Argo machine is the shuffling of tapes from the initial set until an accept state is reached, an adaptation. In general, the computation never ends because the environment changes permanently. If it happens, the case, called as a catastrophe, leads to a transposition, generates a super transition from the accept state to the set of new initial states, and brings a new generative word. A progression of adaptations and catastrophes is an evolution. The model is an abstraction that summarizes property of a modular structure. Some people believe that nature uses a restricted number of models to establish a set of relations among modules. I use this Allah-Wolfram approach, described by Stephen Wolfram in his book A New Kind of Science, appeared in 2002. Opposite to Wolfram's one-dimensional cellular automata, my research was based on pi calculus to build genetic networks. The pi calculus was invented in 1992 by Robin Milner with the aim to describe interactive systems. As the next step, the stochastic pi calculus was proposed by Corrado Priami in 1995, while Andrew Phillips from Microsoft developed SPIM language and designed a stochastic simulator, stochastic pi machine, SPIM for short, that performed a Gillespie algorithm. I used SPIM language to write a code for the SPIM simulator. As you can see here, the following primitives in SPIM calculus were used to build networks with different topologies: decay, degradation of a transcription factor, null gate, constitutive transcription, gene product, protein transcription factor, negative gate, negative regulation, positive gate, positive regulation. I built genetic circuits of increasing complexity from those 5 basic primitives and investigated their behavior, such as the negative and positive genetic regulators, genetic switches, oscillators, impulse generators, feedback, and feedforward loops, genetic memory elements and bifan motifs. My job in the Silicon Laboratory represented the bottom-up scenario of compositional design in terms of SPIM calculus. Most models chosen arbitrarily worked well at standard values of parameters. The topology and complexity of networks played a significant role in their behavior. New networks emerged easily, sometimes because of duplications and transpositions of the previous ones. These operations resembled natural genetic mechanisms such as vertical and horizontal gene transfer, essential operators of biological evolution. Some variations in parameters were similar to point mutations, leading to an optimization, adaptation, of the system to a desirable pattern of behavior. Here you can see the basic genetic gates, such as positive and negative regulators without input, with regulated input, and the cases of autoregulation. For each plot, the abscissa indicates the time of simulation, and the ordinate is the number of protein molecules. Simulations were started in the absence of proteins by doing a constitutive transcription. The number of protein molecules initially increased, and finally leveled off at the equilibrium between the production and degradation. The constitutive expression and the output were higher for the negative regulator and for the positive one. To observe a response of genetic elements, an input allowed linear increases from 0 to 100 individual molecules, then decreases linearly to 0. The input molecules were injected into the system at a certain time. As a result of the reaction, the negative gate behaved like an inverter, whereas the positive gate increased the output signal about almost 10 times. Here on the right side are the results of negative and positive autoregulations. A repressilator consists of three negative gates that mutually repress each other, as shown on the picture. Simulation of the repressilator at nominal parameters resulted in an irregular duration of protein cycles. The decreased rate of gene unblocking 0.001 and the increased protein binding 10.0 allowed an improvement of the regularity of oscillations. Populations of proteins stabilized near 100 molecules in each cycle with the same duration of impulses. The program code for this experiment is given on the right side. Previous experiences were used to design a genetic memory element. The closed chain from four negative elements demonstrated BI stable characteristics. The system arbitrarily started from expression AC or BD proteins. Fortunately, the circuit demonstrated stable behavior at a standard range of parameters. After it dropped to an arbitrary state, the system survived for a long time, figure B, insertions. However, the circuit was sensitive to external inputs. For example, when the system is in state BD, then a programmable input can change the state to a new state AC. To be exact, the production of B and D proteins can be changed to A and C proteins by input A, figure C, or of M, if input no longer exists. Nevertheless, the system stayed at the state AC and did not turn back until the specific input B changed the system state again, figure D. I discovered that the coherent feedforward and feedback loops, FFBL, circuit can be in four different states corresponding to particular patterns of protein expression. 1. Red, low basal production of B and C proteins. 2. Green, intensive stable production of B and C. 3. Blue, spontaneous synchronous outputs of A and C. And 4. Black, exhaustive expression of A and C proteins with gaps. These essential states were significantly influenced by stochastic fluctuations. Nevertheless, I did not observe any transition from one state to another when the parameters were fixed. An incoherent FFBL circuit showed even more sophisticated outputs. Sometimes the system demonstrated unstable dynamic behavior. I found this circuit in the following states: 1. Red, decoherent small amounts of B and large amounts of C proteins. 2. Green, low level of B protein and intermediate level of C protein. 3. Blue, flip-flops between A and C production. And 4. Black, asynchronous low C and intermediate A proteins expression. In addition, I introduce the next states, 1A, orange, for low B with intermediate and high C levels, as well as state 2A, yellow, for intermediate B and high C proteins expression. It should be remembered that synchronous and asynchronous FFBL are the common features of real genetic networks. As I mentioned before, instead of small gradual changes, like point mutations, the mechanisms of compositional evolution combine interdependent genetic modules that have evolved previously in parallel. Examples of compositional mechanisms in nature include recombination, hybridization, symbiotic encapsulation, and horizontal gene transfer, as exhibited in the history of major evolutionary transitions. Modules must persist as identifiable units to be assembled into a Goldschmidt-Hopfel monster. We demonstrated horizontal gene transfer into some eukaryotic species, such as mussels, fish, and rabbit in lab conditions. You could observe in the picture above the successful PCNA3LACZ sperm mediated gene transfer in two fishes Miscegnatus fossilis. In that case, a combination of electrical impulses with dimethyl sulfoxide treatment was used to improve the efficacy. It's well known that recursive functions generate fractals, less known about recursive functions in agents. Unfortunately, a collective behavior and interaction between agents were mostly ignored by biochemists and molecular biologists. Here I'm giving you an example of a simple system that can produce a complex behavior. An artificial world of sperm cells and ova was investigated in the agent-based simulation. If a spermatozoan and ovum meeting leads to the new spermatozoan and new ovum, which have a new genome, then genome mutations will have occurred. This system demonstrates different kinds of behavior depending on the mutation parameter. In details, each creature has a circular genome consisting of 1024 genes, only one of them is active and coded by color with modulo 1024. The state of each creature is described by recursive function, where T of I is the color code of the individual spermatozoan and P of I is the color code of the individual ovum at the time I of breeding. R is the mutation parameter on the interval 0, 4. The system demonstrated ordered regime at R less or equal to 1 and complex regime at R greater than 1, such as stable focus at R equals 1, periodic at R equals 1.01 and chaotic at R equals 3 regimes, as well as strange attractor at R equals 4. This complex and unexpected behavior of the artificial world of two agents, sperm cells and ova, appears from the collective dynamics of the distributed creatures and parallel execution of the recursion. Just let me move to three different algorithmic paradigms of evolution. This table is from the book Compositional Evolution by Richard Watson, MIT Press, 2006. The author classified systems on the basis of an interdependency of variables. He considered weak, modular and arbitrary interdependencies of variables, smooth, spike, and ruffle fitness landscapes, different optimization methods such as hill climbing, divide, and conquer decomposition, exhaustive and random search, different kinds of complexity on the basis of the number of variables, and the number of values for each variable. Finally, author gives us an evolutionary analogy for each class, that is to say gradual evolution, compositional evolution, and impossible analogy, or intelligent design. Ideas of compositional evolution and an algorithm similar with the Argonaut algorithm were implemented in Agni Simulator by Sergey Golutvin. You can see screenshots of the equilibrium evolution trajectories and fittest trajectories in the case of compositional and gradual evolution scenarios respectively. Before I finish, I'd like to summarize the key points. A module is the component which operates independent of other components of the system. A functional modularity is the independence in space and time. Modularity is driven by interaction and communication of components. A set of modules can be combined in different ways. When the environment changes, remember the horizontal gene transfer. Origin of modularity is in the compositional evolution. Modularity expands parallel development and enhances evolvability. Specific interaction between modules is a subject of compositional design of complex systems. Modularity is the relationships between the whole and the parts. You can find here some of my original papers used in the presentation. Finally, I'd like to express many thanks to Svetlana Center, Polina Tereshchuk, Irina Shchit, Irina Kuznetsova, Mikhail Katz, Sergey Golutvin, Vlada Kavitizov, Andrew Phillips, Stephen Benner, and many other who are not on the list. Thank you very much for listening, and for your time. So, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.